Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is our text. These words of Jesus are serious. They cannot be taken lightly. They include a great promise. Those who confess Jesus, he will confess before his Father in heaven. And also a terrible warning. Those who deny Jesus, he also will deny before his Father who is in heaven. When I hear these words, I can't help but stop and pray. Lord, help me. Help me not to deny you. Help me to confess you. Now, clearly, Jesus knows that his followers will be questioned. And so we are. We get asked questions about what we believe. We get asked questions about how we live. We get asked questions about who Jesus is and what he means to us. Sometimes the questions are asked out loud, but not always. There are unspoken questions, too, unspoken questions in the hearts of those who listen to us and watch us. Just think of children. They hear and notice everything. Some of the questions that are asked are honest questions, motivated by curiosity and desire, but other times there are questions that are simply asked to mock Christians or to belittle them. That's why Jesus tells his disciples to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. No one said that confessing Jesus before others would be easy, least of all him. It is challenging. Sooner or later, there will be opposition, and sometimes that opposition even leads to suffering. But still, Jesus offers only two alternatives: confess him or deny him. There's no third way. Silence isn't an option, and you and I both know that saying nothing can often say a great deal. Neutrality isn't possible. There's no Switzerland between the kingdom of Christ and the power of the devil. Islam has a doctrine that they call taqiyya, that allows Muslims to hide their beliefs and even to stop their practices, their religious practices, when in danger. But Christianity doesn't. When asked, Jesus makes no allowances for hiding your faith. He makes no allowances for pretending like you're not a Christian. He offers no category for believing in him in your heart, but denying him in your life. Christians are called to be Christians inside and out, through and through, to be whole life, lifelong followers of Christ in heart, soul, mind, and strength. So you can't sort of confess Jesus, or maybe confess him, or confess him only when the winds are favorable. It's either confess or deny. By now, I imagine that you're already thinking of St. Peter. How could you not? Yes, Peter denied Jesus three times, but don't forget that before he denied Jesus, he also confessed the Lord. In the region of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Guess who piped up? Simon Peter. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." "You're right." He made a good confession. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." The trouble came later. The trouble came when St. Peter was asked by a servant girl around a fire in a courtyard in the middle of the night, "Aren't you a Christian? What are you doing here?" Fear grabbed hold of him. You can almost feel that cold sweat trickling down his back and his heart pounding in his chest. A servant girl. He wasn't ready. He was weak. He was faithless. He took his eyes off Jesus, so he denied it before them all. Denied it with an oath. Finally, denied it with a curse on himself. "I don't know the man." So St. Peter both confessed Jesus and denied Jesus. So where does that leave him? our lives and our conversations confess or deny Jesus too. Certainly we know that our words matter, but we also ought to remember that our actions matter too. How we spend our time, our energy, and our money matter. What we read, watch, and listen to matter. TV, internet, cell phones included. The jokes we tell and the comments we make, those matter as well. Those are ways of confessing or denying. Maybe we talk the talk, but how's our walk? Follow me, Jesus said. It's not just a metaphor. It's a way of life. Follow me. I am the way. The first Christians in the book of Acts are called members of the way. Now, in a normal year, this would be Consecration Sunday, a day for us to renew our confirmation vows and offer ourselves in service to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Confessing Christ is vital. Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? We can only say, I do, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Not by my own strength or power, but by the grace of God. The grace of God that connects our faith with our lives. By grace we confess. By grace we live. When St. Peter confessed that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that was the gracious work of God in his life. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Jesus said, but my Father who is in heaven. Whoever confesses me before men, Jesus says. And yet he also tells the disciples to beware of men. We live our lives in the presence of other human beings. I suppose it'd be easy to confess Christ if we were off by ourselves and never had to interact with or see anyone else. But we live before others. Jesus makes no distinction between private and public lives. We confess Christ or we deny him in front of other people. Jesus even tells the disciples that they'll be dragged before governors and kings for his sake. And a bit closer to home, he mentions brothers and fathers and children and parents. You'll probably never be asked to confess Christ before a king, but you will have opportunity to confess him before family, friends, and co-workers. And this is also what we do each Sunday as we gather here. We confess Christ before other people. We confess Jesus in front of each other. We confess Jesus to each other. We say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. This is one of the reasons that we need each other as Christians. One of the reasons that we need the Christian church and our Christian community. So that we can learn to confess Christ in a place where it is safe, in a place where it is encouraged, in a place where it is supported. Here among friends and fellow believers, we say the words. Our mouths form and shape them. Here we begin to embody the confession. Here we begin taking our first steps in following Jesus, even if our first steps are no better than that of a one-year-old beginning to walk. We simply toddle after Jesus. Here our lives are slowly shaped and pressed into the shape of Christ and his cross. And this confession we make together isn't something that we've created. It isn't something that we've made up. This confession also is given to us, revealed in the scriptures and handed down by the church. So Sunday after Sunday, we gather and we confess Jesus before others. The looming question, of course, is this. Is it enough? For all the times we've confessed Christ in the creeds here at church or elsewhere, we also know the many times that we've denied him in our words and in our lives. We've confessed him, and we've denied him. We are St. Peter, so where does that leave us? Will Jesus confess us before his Father in heaven, or will he deny us? Think about the context in which he says these words. the surrounding section where Jesus encourages us to confess him and not to deny him is filled with words of comfort. He doesn't leave us wondering. He begins by saying, "Have no fear." Then he says, "Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul." Then he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father in heaven. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Those don't sound to me like the words of someone who is expecting or planning to deny us. And along with the words of Jesus, there's also the confession of his life. What do his actions say? Standing before Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate, what did Jesus confess? He confessed that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He confessed himself. In the very same moments that St. Peter was outside denying him, Jesus confessed who he is and what he came to do. And when the nails were driven into his hands, what did that confess? Every blow of the hammer confessed that your sins are paid for by his death. And those thorns pressed into his brow, what do those sharp thorns confess? They confess his body given for you and his blood shed for you. And the blood and water that flowed from his pierced side, what do they confess? Every drop confesses that he is your Savior. Every drop from his side that flowed to you in your baptism and is given, placed into your mouth in the Holy Communion, confesses that he died for you. You see, rather than deny himself, rather than deny the forgiveness that he came to win, Jesus died. He gave his life to confess you. In St. Timothy, we hear this trustworthy saying, "If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to St. Peter by the Sea of Galilee. There he did not deny Peter, but he restored him. He forgave his sins. He gave him, in fact, the calling to feed the sheep and to tend the flock, because Jesus cannot deny his own blood, and he cannot deny his own death on the cross, and he cannot deny those who are joined to him by water and the word. So even as we wrestle between confessing Jesus and denying him, we plead not our own confession. We plead not our own faithfulness, but we plead his faithfulness. And we plead his death for us. We plead those nails and those thorns. We plead that spear in his side. Indeed, this is our confession. Our confession is that Christ died for sinners like us, and that we are saved not by law, but under his grace, that we have a gracious Lord and Savior. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing our Lord and Savior, who gave himself for us, emboldens us to confess him before others. When Jesus talks about confessing him before men, consider who the other human beings are before whom we confess Christ. They are sinners just like us. Sinners in need of a gracious and forgiving God just like us. Sinners in need of his thorns and his nails and the spear in his side. And this is why we confess Christ, why we must confess him, not as a law but out of grace, because I have no salvation apart from him. I have nothing apart from him, because I need him and his forgiveness so desperately. And so Jesus confessed your forgiveness by dying on the cross. He wrote your name in the palms of his hands. He inscribed you on his heart. He wrote you into the book of life in heaven. When he comes again in glory, when he stands before his Father, will he deny you? No, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. He will confess you, and confess you totally and completely forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.